Hello, everyone. I'm Camden Busey here in studio with some good friends. So we have an exciting opportunity to talk about the works of Cornelius Van Til. We've been taking some time this week to record a new course on the theology and apologetics of Cornelius Van Til with none other than Lane Tipton. Lane is a fellow of biblical and systematic theology here at Reformed Forum, as well as pastor of Trinity OPC in Easton, PA. Welcome, Lane.
Oh, it's great to be here.
It's been a fun week recording this course.
It's been a delight for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's been a delight for all of us, too. We got a couple people in the studio that have been watching along. One of them, Ryan Noah, our good buddy. He is a graduate from Mid-America Reformed Seminary with a Master of Divinity and sells books, really amazing Reformed books for a long time, has been selling books through Reformed Forum, but also has his own shop online.
One and many books.
One and many books. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Perfect.
So as you can tell from our set, this is our version of Reformed QVC. It's the Van Til, it's the CVT QVC. So welcome to the program. What do we have here, sir?
Here we have all the original
late night Reformed programming infomercial.
These are all the Van Til books that came out in hardback.
This is
on the table.
Wow.
Before you, as far as I know.
I think
so.
I've got,
we have.
Do you have more? I think I have.
You have all the ones with dust jackets. I have, you know, not too many dust jackets.
I'm particular about that.
Sure. As well, you should be. It increases the value and affects the books.
Walk us through them for those who might not have all the books.
Sure.
I mean, it's one thing to know what's out there.
Yeah.
Do you have Eric Brisley's bibliography? And this is available online as a PDF. I think it's what Precept 101 has.
Precept 101, or if you have the Logos Van Til Collective Works, this will be in there. Yeah.
So you can find out. It's a full blown guide to all of his writings, an entire bibliography that you can find out what's in there. But it's one thing to know about something. It's just so different when you can see it, at least. And I know not everyone through video can touch it. But you see what's out there. And you can find these either through your store or, you know, find them on eBay sometimes or, you know, through libraries or estates of people that have passed on. So
retiring pastors.
Yeah.
And, well, sure. Wait, we can walk through these.
This is let's do it.
Theology of James Dane, one of his critics of in the CRC during the Common Grace debates and the 1950s. So this is a 1959 hardcover.
Mm-hmm. Were there more than one edition of that? Or all the ones I've seen?
I don't believe
this.
So. I don't think it's been reprinted either.
1959.
Yeah.
That's the only one I've ever seen.
I think I got the jacket of that.
For those who care to see.
It should be a blue jacket.
Yeah. Looks like this. It's a good book.
Ooh, nice jacket.
Yeah.
Here we have his 1964, The Case for Calvinism, where he goes after the liberals and the neo-orthodox of his day. Got a foreword from Rush Dooney there. That's a 1964, as I mentioned. The dust jacket is a light white, off-white, with blue writing.
What order have you read these in? Did you start with anyone in particular?
I believe of these, I would have started with, back when I was younger, Defense of the Faith, Christian Theory of Knowledge, and then later came to the, I believe, would this be the New Modernism?
That's right.
This Christianity and Bardeenism.
Mm-hmm.
I read those just before I got to seminary, and then I did not find out about the Case
books
for Calvinism and the Theology of James Dane until I was in seminary.
Okay.
Wasn't aware of them. But so I started with kind of the standard ones, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a very special, not only a special book, but a special, not only edition, but a special copy. Mm-hmm. This is a Defense of the Faith, the first edition, correct?
Correct.
Explain what's so wild and interesting about that. There have been four editions or only three editions now?
There have been four editions.
Four,
there's 1955, 1963, and 67, which are slightly abridged and found in paperback. And then the,
the paperback,
one edited,
annotated one, Dr. Oliphant annotated.
Dr. Oliphant.
Yeah, that's for P&R and that's paperback. But the other three, or not the other three, the first is hardback.
Right.
And then there's a really bizarre looking set of them. People see these sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They look strange. My copy has it's one of those errors where the pages, you get to page 177 and then it starts over at 155 again. So I've got two blocks of the same thing. He must have really thought this was important.
He liked that section.
Yeah. Anyway, so these aren't the best, these old PNR copies, but
that's what I got first.
Yeah, exactly.
This first edition is special, along with the latest, because it has his interaction with all of his critics in the beginning, like Maeterlinck and the DeBoers. Mm-hmm. And, but what's special about this copy is it's not only signed by Van Til, but that's his name there because it's his own copy. It's not an autographed copy. It's simply his personal copy. Mm. And what's especially cool for us Van Til geeks is that throughout the book, you'll see his own annotations there that are dated. So there, that's 4/17/72. And he's doing this as if to prepare a further edition.
Oh, yeah.
And there you see on the rear paste down and end page.
Van
Til's writing, which is
all of his notes on the first edition. So as he's reading it, the nature of these notes is that, you know, he's got different errors, or not errors, things he wants to clarify or correct. Insofar as I've been able to look at this copy, it appears as if when he knew a second and third edition was going to come out, this was his notebook for figuring out how he wanted to prepare those future volumes.
Yeah.
So that is an extremely important copy just for the sake of scholarship. And if ever there were to be a critical edition of that book, which would be really important and useful, that would be a primary source, if not the primary source, to figure out, you know, what was going on.
Right.
Now, it's interesting also with some of the books, Van Til books, not just Van Til books, but books in the orbit of Van Til that are in circulation at the Westminster Seminary Library, the Montgomery Library. I checked out, was it British Absolute Idealism? Who's the author of that? Cunningham.
Yeah, G. Wards Cunningham.
Yeah, you suggested I read that in preparation for a paper. But when I checked it out, I realized that it had all these really great, insightful marginalia notes. Mm. And it was Van Til's personal copy that when he passed it, it gave it to the library. It ended up in circulation. And so I was able to use his marginalia as a primary source in my historical paper on Van Til and idealism, interacting with a lot of his critics from in the 50s in the Calvin Forum. So sometimes you'll find that he gave so many books away and you know, there's just a lot of things. So even if you buy a used copy online, you might find one that he gave to somebody else.
Sure.
And signed it to them. How many of you found that way? Dozens.
Oh, dozens. Yeah. A number of signed copies. And some you'll see are his full name, Cornelius Van Til.
Yeah.
Others are just, you know, with his characteristic C
with the curl in it.
CVT, you know, if it's a close friend perhaps. Or so case. There are a lot of special copies out there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else?
Next one's we have a 1947 hardback of Common Grace. Here's it. This is to Harris. Oh, with warm regard, Cornelius Van Til. So that's a signed copy there. And if you're looking for all his writings on Common Grace, the good one-stop shop where you'll find the original Common Grace and his Common Grace and Witness Bearing and Letter on Common Grace is this 1970, I want to say, two Common Grace and the Gospel. And that's available in paperback. Also in that edition of Defense of the Faith that Camden showed.
Yeah. This is extremely important work from an historical, theological perspective.
Mm.
What would you say about this book? Well, go ahead and introduce what book that is. When was it written?
So this is The New Modernism, published in 1946 from Presbyterian and Reformed. And there's also a second edition in 1947. That's released. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to get Van Til's hard-hitting attack on neo-orthodoxy against Brunner and Barth, this is the place to go, along with his Christianity and Barthianism.
Now, Lane is someone who's taught on the theology of Karl Barth, specifically from a Van Tilian perspective. Why was this book so important at the time?
Well, one of the things is that Van Til was pointing out that Barth's actualism is what is driving his entire theology, and he was so far ahead of the curve in terms of understanding the way that actualistic ontology was actually recasting the Christian religion in terms of a new content, but using older Orthodox terms. And he was just 1946, light years ahead.
Yeah, and other people hadn't even read Barth.
Yes.
He was the first, critical... Yeah. Analysis in English
in penetrating
of Barth's work.
Yeah, absolutely penetrating and so so well done. It came to a fuller, mature expression in Christianity and Barbianism.
Yeah, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a few editions of that, aren't there?
There is a there's a paperback that came out in 1965. It's a blue cover. And then there's a later reprinting from PNR that's a black cover.
Good copy.
And this is pretty scarce here in hardback with the dust jacket, the 1969 A Christian Theory of Knowledge from Van Til. And this started out as a syllabus called The Metaphysics of Apologetics. Yeah, I do have that.
Ryan also has an extensive collection of syllabi or syllabuses. And the reason for these is that Van Til would often develop or write these works as the use of the word syllabus is different than it's often used presently. Basically, a book that was for a course. Mm-hmm. So it'd be extensive course notes. They aren't just notes. They're actually prose written as a book and given to students who would read them in prep. Mm-hmm. And so the dogmatics guys still do this down at Mid-America. But Van Til would do this and teach in this way. But a lot of times these syllabuses, it goes either way. Jeff Waddington gets on my case and says it's syllabuses, even though the other people say syllabi. So I say both.
Say both, knowing.
And syllabuses. And then these would turn into published books eventually. But before they were published books, Van Til would make copies of these and mail them all over the place.
Right.
And often ask maybe for, a little donation just to cover the cost of reproduction. But people would write him letters all the time, and he'd just be mailing these out all over the place himself, kind of like acting as his own, I won't say self-publisher, because these became published books from reputable publishers, but he's almost like a pre-publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's remarkable is he sent so many copies, and in reading the letters, I've learned he sent so many copies for free overseas.
Yeah.
To seminaries in Korea and Japan and just a wonderful service to the church.
Well, I haven't seen one like bound like this, but most of them are comb, as you have.
Yeah, I show a few of the syllabi just if folks are interested in.
Yeah, you'll see what this looks like. Everyone's seen what this kind of thing. This looks like my grandma's recipe cookbook drawer, right? Like church cookbooks. But instead of, Grandma Rose's, cheesy potatoes, we have an introduction to systematic theology in the peanut gallery. Like that one. This is amazing. And you just pieced these together over the years in various
just
places.
Just scouring the internet and having good friends.
And these will pop up once in a while, or have in the past, at reformforum.org. But Ryan's got them at one in many books. Look at that. My goodness. It would be fascinating to have critical editions of these, like a massive collection where you would have not just Van Til's book, but all the different permutations of it along the way. So you could learn about his development of thought.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these are in the Logos set? All of them?
I'm not sure. But then I tend to consult the hard copies.
I do too. But there's also a question of which edition.
Right. Yeah, our good brother Scott Hatch has done such great work on the Christian theistic ethics and on that very question and tracing the development of that particular syllabi.
Right.
And, or no, syllabus.
Whatever.
Whatever. this is a special copy, and this hasn't been reprinted as far as I know. This is Van Til's Christianity in Conflict.
Yeah.
His syllabus on the history of apologetics, and it's in 8 volumes, I want to say. And what's special about this copy is it's from Charles G. Dennison, a wonderful minister in the OPC and a historian of the OPC.
Yeah.
And a true pilgrim.
Oh, amen. Yeah, his collected writings are called The History for a Pilgrim People. That is by Danny Ullinger.
Here's a few books that Van Til contributed to.
Yeah.
So the first is
I've never seen this edition. Do you have one of these?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've only got the paper, the later one.
So that's 1946 from Presbyterian Guardian. And that's where Van Til contributed his Nature and Scripture.
Yeah, which is...
On the perfections of natural revelation.
One of his most, if not most famous article or essay, chapter. It's so critical to understanding him on that topic. What are these?
Here we have Scripture and Confession. I believe this is from 1973. And it's edited by his colleague over at Westminster, John Skilton.
New Testament guy.
Yep. And so this has articles or contributions from Murray and Clowney and Van Til wrote on Confessing Jesus Christ. And here's another one from the Dutch Stream of Things, edited by Peter Y. de Jong. And it's on the Synod of Dort, Essays in Commemoration of the Synod of Dort. And Van Til contributed the significance of the Synod of Dort for today. This has great articles by Murray and Kistemacher and Klooster, among others. If you're looking for to get a bunch of Van Til books that have been reprinted conveniently,
we need to do this as an infomercial. So are you looking for a way to get a number of Van Til works conveniently and economically?
It's
turn to beautiful set.
Turn to the Den Dog Foundation. And some of these have been reprinted as well, but although the doctrine of Scripture has not, and psychology of religion, I don't believe either.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, you know, started as syllabi and then have been nicely bound.
I read many of these because before PNR did some reprints, this was all you could get. And still some of these titles, this is all you can find. And so we're very thankful for them. But again, it would be nice to have, as you can see, a nice typeset, you know, authoritative edition. These aren't the printing in this is legible. It's better than the syllabus format, but could use some work.
Here are some books that didn't appear in hardback form. At least, all of those didn't. We have The Reformed Pastor and Modern Thought from the 70s. Christianity and Idealism.
Yeah.
So that's this is Van Til's dissertation. Is that right?
Yeah.
Based God off of God and absolute. The Absolute. New Synthesis Theology of the Netherlands.
I love this booklet.
The Aristotle Christ Kant Synthesis.
Yes. This book, I only had read it a few years ago. And it was a gem. Love this book. Most people probably haven't even heard of it.
So if you're looking for Van Til's Critique of Burkhauer, this is a good place to go, along with the Sovereignty of Grace here, an appraisal of Jesus.
They're very similar. These two, I read them back to back. I wouldn't say they share direct portions, but I suspect these were written very close to each other because the same things are on his mind. They're very similar.
Yeah. Here's the Defense of Christianity and My Credo. And I forget which one of these essays was contributed to Jerusalem.
My Credo.
My Credo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a good introduction to Van Til.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the only collection of Van Til's sermons that I'm aware of that's been published.
Yeah,
Two Brothers and Others. This is the God of Hope.
Published that.
Sermons and Addresses. This is from PNR in 1978. And, why don't you guys take a look at that one?
I don't have that. Put that on my list.
You know, that's pretty scarce. I've only seen a few of those. I sold one to our brother Jeff.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's hard to find. Here's The Great Debate Today. I haven't read this. Maybe one of you could fill us in on
what's I'm in trying there. To remember on this one. I've read some of this. Let me see. When I was doing work, Christ and Paul, this was some material that when I was doing my dissertation, I read Van Til on Christ and Paul, and especially was interested to see what he was saying about the Areopagus address.
Okay.
And so he's dealing a lot with contemporary hermeneutical issues, and it's a timely piece. But I have not looked at it for years.
Here's Christ and the Jews. This is Van Til's contribution to a great series from PNR, or Presbyterian Reformed at that time, the Biblical and Theological Study series. Here he interacts with Martin Buber, among others.
Isn't that one I'm missing?
Philo, yeah, you're missing that one.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll be missing it in a minute.
here's his new hermeneutic. Yeah. Have not read this either. This is from 1977 from Presbyterian Reformed. Who do you say I am? And here are a couple that Van Til has on education. This one's a compilation from him and
Burkhoff.
Right? Burkhoff.
It's good.
So. And a number of these were originally printed in a book called Fundamentals of Christian Education, I believe, by Jaarsma. I forget his first name, but the Calvin prof. Mm-hmm. And those are in there.
These are great. I've given these away to various people and administrators in Christian schools or just secular schools that were interested in principles of Christian education. And it's obviously distinctly Reformed. It's not just Christian education in general, but distinctly Reformed education.
Mm-hmm. Just looking for his dilemma of education. It's in here somewhere.
Yeah.
But Van Til also published just a ton of pamphlets and booklets. And so these are fun to collect. This is Van Til on the Paul's Areopagus address. This is Bart's Christology. Here's one of his Tyndale lecture. I think this is from 1951, is it, or 49? 1950. Here's Common Grace. This is a reprint of the hardcover we showed earlier.
I've never even seen that one.
Yeah, the Christian Scholar. I believe this was originally printed in a Westminster Theological Journal.
Oh.
And is an extract. Reprinted from 1959 WTJ.
I just read this 2 weeks ago. Is God dead? Turns out he's not.
Good.
Yeah.
Here's
waiting with bated breath on that one.
He's dealing with Nietzsche and similar theologies. It was a very significant thing at the time in the 60s.
Sure. So we just have a number of pamphlets here. You can find most of these, if not all, on the Logos software.
Right.
Karl Barth and Evangelicalism.
And you'll normally find these in lots.
Right.
Often people might sell like 8 of them. That's how I've pieced a few of these together on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's a special copy. This is from the Library of Morton H. Smith, Particularism and Common Grace. Oh, Dilemma of Education. Yeah.
And this one's really significant. This is an extremely important book. Unfortunately, really difficult to find. The Confession of 1967. Background and significance. This was commenting upon the confessional changes in the mainline Presbyterian Church. But what's really fascinating about this is that Van Til doesn't develop this, but it parallels theologically with a lot of the theological developments in the Catholic Church, the Vatican II. So where you see, in my opinion, the Roman Catholic Church moving in a more liberal, transcendental Thomist variety. You see they're answering the questions of modernism with Rahner and other people. You end up with the Presbyterians answering the questions and problem of modernity with Bart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Christianity and Modern Theology. I believe that this is a compilation of Van Til's book reviews from WTJ. In Westminster Theological Journal. So you have him on a number of things, including Skilder and Ritterboss, Vollenhoven, things you can't find elsewhere. A few more, Why I Believe in God.
Karl Barth, Chalcedon.
Apologetic Syllabi, Common Grace and Witness Bearing. Here we have some books about Van Til.
Oh, second. This is what we call secondary
literature.
Secondary sources.
This is a great one.
That's a primary source, too.
For folks who are looking for articles from Bonson and Dr. Oliphant here, John Frame, this is a special edition of the Westminster Theological Journal from 1995 that has the who's who of Van Til scholars writing on Van Til stuff.
Yep.
Centennial of his birth.
Yep.
This is an extract from John Frame that was originally published in the Foundations of Christian Scholarship, which is the, 1976 theonomic do-over, of Jerusalem and Athens.
You got to start here.
Okay. Sure.
Theonomic do-over.
This is Ed, William. Is it William or Ed? Guillen. I apologize for my brain isn't working. E.R. Guillen. It was Edward. Yeah. Was Van Til's research assistant upon the, I think it was the 40th anniversary of him being a professor and the 75th birthday and retirement, they decided to, again, put together this Festschrift. And it's a unique Festschrift, perhaps a throwback from a previous era, because a lot of times festschrifts these days, you know, the guy might ask somebody to contribute in a festschrift, and the guy's like, well, I've got this article on my hard drive. Can I just throw that in there? And then that,
right.
But this one, the guy's actually working on and criticizing Van Til at various points, and then Van Til responds.
Mm.
So this is an extremely interesting and rich resource. Not every contribution is, you know, stellar, but it's an important book to have. And Van Til's My Credo is in there. But then some of the more theonomic types were not, you know, necessarily satisfied with this or didn't think the criticisms were on point. And that's where we end up with, as you call it, the theonomic do-over.
That was off the cuff, but Foundations of Christian Scholarship. So a professor at Mars who will go unnamed, he said this was when the gang was all together. So you had Rush Dooney and North and Bonson and even Frame and Poitras.
Yeah.
C. Greg Singer, everyone is in this. Taking Van Til to the limit.
No, it's a good book.
We have
this is a good one to talk about on point.
Sure. Yeah, this is by what standard? This is Russus John Rush Dooney's first book, published in 1958. This is a later reprint from Ross House Books. Van Til loved the book and corresponded with him about it.
It's the first secondary source, kind of a summary of Van Til's theology and apologetic method.
Right.
I enjoyed reading it. I think it's useful. But it is in the 50s. Later on, Van Til maybe had some other concerns about some aspects of Rush Dooney's theology, but they were very close friends. Well, I had a lot of correspondence, and that's a really tremendous book in many regards, many respects.
Also on the topic of Rush Dooney here, his contribution to the Modern Thinker series, which is just worth owning in mm-hmm. its entirety if you can get your hands on those. And then this is a later reprint with a couple other articles from Chalcedon. And here we have the one authorized biography of Van Til. This is by his friend William White Jr. A lot of personal anecdotes in here, and there's even some photos in the middle. This just warmed my heart reading this book. I really loved it. And now we're getting into the big stuff.
Grab that one while we're at it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Top. So not authorized because Van Til is no longer with us, but John Beether wrote this. Biography of Cornelius Van Til for the American Reformed Biography Set with Presbyterian and Reformed, PNR Publishing. So very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Standard. This is what I cut my teeth on. Mm-hmm. We should probably start with this because this came first, I think. Did it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's this?
So that's the big frame. This is Cornelius. I mean, that's the big Bonson and the big frame, right?
Yeah.
Bonson or the big frame. The secondary sources is Cornelius Van Til, an analysis of his thought. And we have now becoming scarce and out of print is Van Til's Apologetic Readings and Analysis from Greg L. Bonson. And that has selections from throughout his whole corpus with Bonson's own commentary thereupon.
That
extremely
was
useful.
That was my stargate,
into
this world. Started with that. The friend, the associate pastor of the church I was attending wanted to learn about Van Til. So he said, buy this book and we could read it together.
Mm.
And then he got busy and after 200 pages dropped out and I continued on myself.
Very good.
So I'm very thankful to Dr. Bonson for that.
Mm-hmm.
Really good book. Useful in many regards. Ooh, and I love this. I've got a story about this one. I think I've told it on air before. This is Tom Notaro's Van Til and the Use of Evidence. You can see it's a rather small book. I was reading this maybe about a third through or halfway through, and I was driving to from Peoria, Illinois to Wrigley Field to go to a baseball game, and it was kind of raining outside. They were going to play the Cardinals. I get to the stadium. I was in the upper deck. I was in the upper deck, so there was a roof, and it was on rain delay. So I was like, well, I got this book. So I pulled it out of my pocket, and I read pretty much most all of this book. I finished it. And basically, as soon as I finished it, they had cleaned the field off, got the tarp off, dried it out, and it was basically right when I turned the last page. Play ball! And
that's great. That's
I will never forget Tom Notaro's Van Til and the Use of Evidence. I read it in Wrigley Field.
Very good.
Very well done.
And didn't miss any baseball while at the same time. And the last one on the table.
This is a bit lesser known. This is from one of Van Til's students, Jim S. Halsey, called For Such a Time as This, An Introduction to the Reformed Apologetics of Cornelius Van Til. I have not read this. But I know Van Til himself wrote a foreword to it that was very, very appreciative. And so have you brothers read this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have not.
He wound up abandoning the Reformed faith later in his life, a study under James Barr.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot that's useful in terms of just getting some of the basic principles of Van Til down.
Mm. Wow. Tremendous. My goodness. So, Ryan, where can people go if they want to, you know, these are your own copies, right, obviously, to let everyone know, but sometimes...
If they want one or many copies.
if they want one or many.
Well, tell them about your website. What's the web address?
Well, oneandmanybooks.com. You can find me there, but that will lead you to my eBay store.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of offerings from Reformed theology, broader evangelical theology, even Catholic books that are worth reading, like Aquinas and whatnot. But also, I try to keep all the Van Til stuff for Reform Forum. So
you
should have some copies.
And if you are looking, if someone's looking for something particular, how can they get in touch with you?
Ryan@oneandmanybooks.com.
Good. Awesome. Really appreciate it. Thanks for bringing these over.
Most welcome. It's a pleasure.
Good. Well, we'll talk next time on the next topic. Thanks so much for watching and listening.
Yeah.
And pick up and read.